Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Moscalzo, and we are here for our nutritional endocrinology practitioner training group community call. So this is where all levels come together, and we share a coaching call, and we can get help, we can do cases, we can do whatever it is on your mind. Are there places where you're stuck? Are you places where you are feeling like you need a little motivation? Are there places where you want to share a success? Whatever it is that's going on for you, this is fair game to bring to this call because we're here to support each other as a community, to learn from each other, and to grow. I know that many of you were on, you're very dedicated. You were on the call that we just did right before this, which was for the adrenals. That was our adrenal health coach's guide to adrenal fatigue. And we had a lot of stuff going on there. We were on there for an hour and a half, and now you're on this call. So I honor you in your willingness and ability to just plug in and your dedication. And what I feel from all of you that I've communicated with directly and then also from just your actions and the way you present is that you share my passion for making this world a healthier place, and you share my desire for wanting to change the way that health care is practiced, and you are dedicated to making a difference. And I just love you and honor you for all of that. So the way that these calls will go is that you get on the line and you raise your hand if you have a problem, if you have a success, if you have a case you want to talk about. All of that stuff is fair game, so raise your hand with a 1 on your telephone keypad. Make it a 1 if you have a question and a 5 if you have a comment. And then if you're on the web, go ahead and type in that says, hey, here's what my question is. It could be a question about content. It could be a question about a particular person you're working with, a particular person you're thinking of working with and want to know if you really have this what it takes to do it at this point. And know that when you have people presenting with you that have slightly challenging cases that you're not sure what to do with, you have this support. So come to us and say, you know, this one feels a little over my head. What do you think? And if I think it's over your head, I will definitely recommend that you refer them to somebody that's more knowledgeable. But sometimes you think things are over your head, but they're really not. They're really similar to something that you already have a nice awareness and ability to deal with. It's just you're not making that connection yet. So, so that's what I wanted to say. Also, I want to let you know that we are going to get together again this Saturday, and we're going to do minerals. So we're going to go through minerals. We're still working on those vitamin presentations and getting those finished. And that's going to take a little longer than we expected. We are currently a little shorthanded, and we're in the process of trying to hire some people to take up the slack and to get help get some of that stuff ready. So, and then in 2 weeks, I believe, I think it's on the 7th of June, or it's a Friday, we have an all-day session set up to do labs. And I'm super, super excited about that because we've been, you know, kind of sort of doing a little bit of labs here and there and doing them with cases, but I've never given you that formal, you know, let's get together and let's really learn what all these different parameters in the labs mean so that you can get a really amazing functional nutrition picture of a person when they present with just a standard blood chemistry, and then we'll teach also about some of the stuff to go beyond that. So this is lab basics, and then we have another class that's later on in the program, which is the advanced labs training. So we're going to go through all the basics. It's just the stuff that's on the chem panel and the thyroid, and you're going to get a lot of great value from that. So I keep talking because nobody's asking questions. You guys, you're quiet. Tell me what's going on. Just like raise your hand and tell me what's going on, or I'm just going to call on you and have you just share. We got to get some conversation going. I know that there's stuff going on. How did you, I mean, even just start by raising your hand with a 5 if you want to talk about how did that adrenal class call go? Do you feel confident? Do you feel I need to go into more depth? Do you feel like I need to slow down, speed up? That would be great feedback. So we've got Glenn and then Laura.
Hello, Glenn. Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. You wanted to know if you should speed up or slow down.
Yeah.
I think you were going plenty fast. It was
pretty fast.
I was having a pretty difficult time trying to keep up. You're just putting out some of the stuff you're saying. I already know, but you're putting this stuff out so fast that I kind of get overwhelmed sometimes.
Okay, that's good feedback. Thank you. I really make a conscientious effort to slow my voice down, and if I'm not paying attention to it, it gets very fast. So I appreciate that, and I will slow it down. I was kind of like on this feeling of, well, a lot of this stuff is repeat, but some of it is new, and, you know, I don't want to bore you if you've already heard it before, but I don't want to overwhelm you if it's new. So
there's just so much, and I know you've internalized all this, so it's just like you could do it in your sleep, but
yeah.
Somebody who hasn't been doing this for that long, it's a lot. And I guess maybe you recently got vaccinated with that phonograph needle again.
I must have, you know, somebody snuck it and did it with me in the sleep or something. Okay, great. Thank you for the feedback. I'll go through the slides and figure out what to do to make sure that we make up for that. But nobody asked questions, so I was assuming, oh, everybody's getting this. Nobody has questions. Maybe I should speed up. So that was my.
For me, it was just the opposite. It was going so fast that I was trying to keep up. It would have been hard for me to try to.
Okay.
To think of a question. But
okay,
but I do have a question on that.
Now you have a question.
Is it okay?
Good.
Ask
yeah.
a question about the adrenal stuff.
Sure.
I think I got this. Did you say that if a woman is pregnant and she is really stressed and putting out a lot of cortisol, if her adrenals are stressed like that, if they're overactive, that the fetus, the baby, can be born already with
yep.
adrenal problems?
Yes. Yeah, they can be born in an alarmed state. And then on top of it, you know, if the mom gives birth, and the child is in that stressful environment, then there's even more. And so you see kids going into alarm, you know, very early on. And then if there's fighting in the family or financial worries, the kid picks that up. And so we see a lot of children who are in adrenal fatigue or stages. You know, a lot of them are in that alarm or stage one. And it just gets worse as they start to eat all the crappy food that they are fed, you know, the nutrient-depleted food and all. And it just gets worse.
Yeah.
And I was seeing so much in the way of children in schools with attention problems, focus problems, their oppositional behavior problems, and turning to drugs, you know, at very young ages now, you know, 11-year-olds smoking pot because it's an escape route for them. So, yeah, I think it's a real big problem. And I think that we as coaches can be coaching our mom, you know, if we have a pregnant mom or somebody thinking about being pregnant, and really allowing them to get a sense of how what they do during the pregnancy is going to affect their child, and it's also going to impact their lives, because if they have a child who's born with a lot of issues and is very demanding and needing a lot more care, then that's going to impact them a lot more than the extra work it takes to prepare healthy food and, you know, exercise and do those things. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what you can do, I mean, I did go fast, and what you can do, we'll get the slides out. I'll get those to Stacy to clean up. I didn't have time to get them to her to clean up because she's cleaning up some other slides, and she's, like, way overwhelmed right now. So I didn't get a chance to have her review my slides first. So I'm going to have her review them, you know, fix any typos. But you can get you can look at the recording right away, and then I'll have her fix any typos in the slides and then put them out there. And then we'll give it to our video recorder to do an advanced video and pop in all the good slides so there's no typos still in there. So that's what we'll do, and we'll get you those slides as soon as we can. So that way you can print out the slides and then watch again and take notes, and then you can always pause it and go back that way.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for the feedback. It's good feedback. Wasn't sure. So thanks. We had Laura and Violaine. So Laura, hello.
Yes, hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi.
I had kind of a, it's not really a clinical question, but I just started doing nutrition consulting and health coaching locally, and I'm noticing kind of as I was starting out, I was wondering if you had any tips for me, because I had a client, a new client that I saw yesterday, and which I suspect that she may have some adrenal issues or thyroid issues or possibly both. My sessions are typically an hour, and we ended up going like over 2 hours. There was a lot of emotional stuff that came up for her, and traumas in her past and different things. And do you have any suggestions on how to kind of be, like, still keep your own, you know, healthy boundaries and things, but not come off harsh? Or, you know, she definitely needs to get some of that stuff out. And that was important, and I felt like some healing work was done just for that. But it's hard to, you know, stop somebody in the middle of a, when they're sharing something so personal like that. And it was her first session, and I was glad that she opened up, because that kind of helps me to figure out like what areas we need to focus on. But like when we were done, I was like, oh my gosh, this went way over. And and when I work up a caseload to where, you know, there is somebody every hour or something like that, I won't always have the flexibility to do that. And
that's
your recommendation.
But I am probably the worst person in the world to ask that.
You're so good to us, yes, but it's hard to set those boundaries.
So the thing is, you know, I used to do that. I'd say, oh, yeah, I would come in for whatever visit, and I didn't have anybody behind them, and I'd be with them for 3 hours, and I'd charge them for the 1 hour. And so I've learned to come beyond that now, and it's easier with me with having them back-to-back. But there's two ways to approach it, though, Laura. One is, I personally don't think an initial visit of an hour is enough. That's the way I operate. I just don't think an hour is enough for me to spend enough time to really get into what I need to on the first visit. So I schedule them 1.5 and possibly even 2 hours. So 1.5 hours is what I really do schedule them for, and I've learned to be a little bit, you know, more succinct and be able to get it done in that 1.5 hours. But it's also, you've also got to figure out the pricing. You know, if you want your pricing to be, you can't just make it 1.5 hours and charge them what you would have for 1 hour, right?
Right.
You have to figure out what your value is and what you're comfortable with. So if you really want to keep the initials to 1 hour, then you'll have to structure it in such a way that it's almost like you're not going to get into all of it then. So the question about stopping them when they're in the middle, there's a skill that comes after a while of learning from the beginning to say that. And one of the things. So one of the things I'll do sometimes at the beginning, I'll say, I'm really excited, you know, to be with you and to be sharing with you, and we're going to get to know each other well here, because I want to dig in. I want to know everything. I really want to help you get in balance. Now, there's sometimes when you might have a tendency to be telling me more than I need, and we might be running out of time. So if I stop you mid-sentence, I'll say, hang on, excuse me a second. I might stop you mid-sentence and say redirect, and then we'll come back to it. I'll take notes. And I just want to make sure you're okay with that. I don't want you to feel like I'm being rude, but I want to make sure that I serve you in the best possible way I am. And sometimes, you know, I don't need all the extra information that you're giving me. I mean, that's one way to do it. Obviously, if they're in the middle of an emotional dump and they're crying, you can't say, I got to go. The session is over.
Yes.
Exactly. Over. Right? You just can't, right? But if they're in the middle of, you ask them the question about, you know, when was the last time they had antibiotics, and they're going down the road of, well, I think I was at Aunt Tilly's house, and my sister was there, and so was my cousin, and but I don't know if I had antibiotics then, or if, you know what I mean? When they do that kind of stuff, if you've never heard it before, you will. So trust me, you will. That's the stuff you have to learn to redirect, because that you don't need to know about Aunt Tilly's house and what dog was there and all that. You just need them to get to the point. So that's where learning to say, hang on one second, let me rephrase that. If you don't remember, it's just a ballpark is good, something like that, and you just have to learn. It's one of those things that comes with practice in communication. Mm-hmm. But there's two ways. Like I said, you can decide that you really do need an hour and a half and schedule it, or 2 hours. I know some practitioners are just the first visit is 2 hours long.
Well, and what would your recommendation be with this? Because I kind of feel like so far in the month that I've been doing this, the majority of the women that I'm seeing, they really just need help kind of cleaning up their diet. They want to do these things, and that I feel like I can totally do in an hour. Like, give them some suggestions. Like, they just need help, learning how to cook, like learning what is gluten and some of those things. But with this particular client, it's almost like functional medicine. Like, she went to the doctor, was told that, of course they did the very basic blood work, told her nothing was wrong with her. And she's already eating a very, very clean diet. So with her, I kind of need to dig. I almost feel like it's a completely different service.
Well, you can do it as a completely service. So you can say you can call it diet coaching. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can have a diet coaching session. I'll look at what your diet is. I'll ask you a few questions about your health history so I make sure that the diet is consistent with that. And then I'll really help you to put plan in, diet and meal planning or, however you want to phrase it. But you might have that's one service. And then, a comprehensive health evaluation or health strategy session or something like that
would
be that you would charge more for.
Yeah, and this is really hard for me too. How do you know what to charge for your services?
Yeah.
That's been a challenging thing for me. Do you just kind of go, I don't know of any other people doing health or nutrition coaching in my area, and I kind of feel like...
First of all, I would go online and just take a look and see what the ballparks are. Like, you just search health coaching and see, what people are charging. It's going to be all over the map. It's what your place will bear. So if you live in Iowa, where Lynn lives, you're going to be able to charge a lot less than if you live in San Francisco, where you can charge a whole lot more, right? So it's
right.
Just the what it commands. What do you feel comfortable with? I would really look at, what are your expenses and what are your needs and what do you feel comfortable charging? Now, you have a framework to go because you're a physical therapist. So what kind of salary range would say you're going to minimally be getting whatever you would get if you were working in a physical therapy clinic, right? If not on your own.
Right.
Like, so that I'm not going to charge less than $50 an hour. That's ridiculous. But, maybe you want $150, but you have to see what the market will bear, right? I saw one. Her name is Rose Cole. I don't think she does it anymore, but she was charging $550 an hour. I mean, she's an IIN grad doing nutrition coaching for $550 an hour? JJ Virgin was charging $1,100 an hour. Okay? I mean, that's a bit extreme, right? Providing a really detailed functional medicine service and reading labs and really going deep with somebody on analysis, sure, $500 an hour could be very fine. Now, you also have to think about what kind of time goes into preparing for the session. Like, if they're just coming in to talk about their diet, you don't have much preparation or anything after, right, other than maybe sending them a recipe or two like you promised them. Whereas if they come in and they've got a really serious case and you are ordering labs or you're looking at their history, or like one time person said, oh, I'll send you my previous labs, and I said, sure, 70-page fax came in. Like, it's figure out what was worthwhile to look at or not. Now, fortunately, she was on a program where I charged her a set amount for a 6-month program. So I had that into the program that I had lab analysis time. So that's the other thing. If you're paying on a fee, a time for dollar thing, it becomes harder. But what I recommend is not doing that is to just charge an initial consultation session that's palatable, that's comfortable, that's going to get people in the door, and then create, based on what they are saying, a package for them. And so the package might include, you know, some number of sessions where you're going to take them in the kitchen. Maybe it includes sessions where you're going to talk about their diet. Maybe it includes sessions where you're going to review their menu plan. Maybe you're going to give them a bunch of recipes, a recipe guide, or some checklists. You know, we got a fair number of done for you kind of things within the program itself that you might be able to take and say, oh, I can use this and package it with my program. And that way they don't know what you're charging per hour. And honestly, because of the back end, you know, the case analysis time and the lab analysis on the other end, if you're spending an hour with somebody, you may have also spent half an hour reviewing their paperwork that they filled in, and then another hour, hour and a half after the fact. So I'll tell you a quick, brief story because this brings it home for me. I used to, you know, I just had these flat fee, and people would sign up for coaching sessions on Skype or on the phone. And I had somebody, and she came in, and I was charging, I think at that time I was charging like $300, and it was an hour and a half session. And but it also included some lab time, so I was analyzing. So this person would come in, and she'd see me, and then we'd do all this stuff, and I'd do her labs and all this. And then 6 months later, she'd come back in with new labs. I haven't talked to her in 6 months. I don't remember her case. So I would have to spend an hour getting ready before her call, and then another hour and a half on the phone with her, and then another hour after the fact trying to figure it all out and then send her a plan. And I felt like, I can't do this anymore. I'm not willing to. I'm willing to do all that work for people and help people if they're paying for a whole package. So yeah. That's what I move towards. That's what I would recommend.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Good. I'm glad. Yay. Thank you for the question. It's great. It's a great topic to be exploring. Absolutely. Great. Thank you. Line, and then I'm going to open up Violaine. All right, Violaine, on.
Hello, Sarita Marie.
Oh.
this is really great because I'm working on the adrenal and getting ready to practice my coaching with someone. I'm just practicing. I'm still waiting for a result. They should be coming in soon. I'm doing practice.
You're
just
working
to see.
With that you ran the tests on and you're waiting for the results.
Yeah, she did her test and I'm waiting for the result. I don't know how far she wants to go with that, but she was interested in doing the test. So I said, go for it and I'll help you. And it's great for me to practice. And I'm doing it for free, but, you know, hopefully I'll be successful.
Absolutely. And you know, you doing this stuff for free at the beginning is good, especially if you talk to the people and say, look, I'm going to waive my fee because I'm just getting started with this and I really want to work with you. Are you willing to give me a nice, you know, testimonial? So that, and then you have a testimonial that you can put on your website, that you can put in a brochure, that you can share.
Yes.
Hey, this person got these results. And then you feel confident, too. You feel much more confident.
Yes. So I'm very motivated with the adrenals, as you can imagine. I am, and I'm starting to feel the effect of the bioidentical hormones myself. So I'm working on my own case. You know, that's the primary.
Oh, you know, that's a good place to start, isn't it?
I'm the primary case. And I just wanted to do a quick review, making sure I'm not missing anything. I'm not doing everything, but I think I've got all the vitamins and the minerals, and I'm feeling much better. That fog, I mean, I can start following you because a few weeks ago you sounded even faster. So now that I can follow, I was at the call just before and I could follow you and it felt so good.
Oh, good.
To be able
I'm glad. I'm very glad for that.
I want to have my energy so I can study.
Absolutely. In the brain.
You know?
You said in the call, you know, this is the cortisol and its effect on the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex. It's like
how
and attentive when you've had all this cortisol ripping your brain apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely.
But the thing is that I'm very low cortisol right now. But it's like I was in so much fog. I mean, my memory, I could not remember, and still I'm very
cortisol from high cortisol. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
The reason you're low is because you were high for so long.
Oh yes, 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 of course.
Yeah.
And then the lady I'm going to be working on is having thyroid issues too and gut issues, so it's interesting. And my thyroid is back. My TSH is back. I got some new tests, and my vitamin D is back to normal.
Yay!
I know we went through my bio health, and I pretty much got it. I think I have to get the vitamin C and the magnesium. I was wondering. I'm taking something. It's in a cap, and it's a combination. Calcium magnesium. The magnesium is 250 and calcium 500. So
yeah.
I wonder
if I
want to
get a little extra magnesium. I wouldn't want you to double up on that, but I would love to see you have a little bit more magnesium than that. So just get a magnesium glycinate or citrate. Do you have a problem with bowels? So here's how you differentiate when you're talking to people about the form of calcium or magnesium that you want to give them, is if they tend towards loose stools, you might want to be cautious about giving them magnesium citrate because that can be irritating to the bowels. So instead, you might want to give them a magnesium glycinate.
I think that.
Same stuff, you can give them magnesium taurate. I haven't worked with that one very much, but I've read the research on it. And the liquid ionic magnesium can be very helpful. Like you can get that in a lot of different places. One is from Carolyn Dean has it, her Pico particle size magnesium, and then Good State has it in a liquid magnesium. I'm tending more towards liking those, but a lot of people don't like to take them because they don't taste good.
I take the Rush or the Fulvic. What is this? It has some magnesium in it. Is there enough? The Warrior. I'm taking the Warrior. I didn't even check that one. I don't have it in front of me. It's the Liquid Warrior, I thought I had written it down.
Let me give you an idea. This is something you can do with your clients, too.
Liquid light. Enough?
I don't know. You'd have to look.
You don't know. Okay.
Much is in it. I'll check. Yeah, I doubt it.
No, I don't think there is much in it.
No,
there is some iodine. Okay, I don't have my, I didn't get my iodine checked. I don't know if you want to do a quick review of my case. I didn't get the iodine checked. But I'm taking kelp and sea vegetables, but I would have to have my iodine tested, I guess.
I would, given the labs that I saw for you, from what I remember of them when we saw them at, you brought them to the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't remember exactly the numbers, but I remember that
the iodine, and of course I didn't ask her, and she did the bare minimum on my last test. But I'm doing pretty well. Let's see. And then the B6, I found something. It's a capsule. Is that okay? It's a pyridoxine HCL, and it's 100 milligram. It's a little more than what you recommend for the adrenal.
Form, Violaine. It's a different form. So
it's not the right form.
Well, you can use that, but that one you would require higher. We'll go through the B6. That one is one of the presentations I haven't finished yet. But B6, the active form is pyridoxal 5-phosphate, and then pyridoxine hydrochloride. Generally, when I recommend and pyridoxal 5-phosphate, I start with about a 25 milligram. Now, with people who have a lot of serious issues with neurotransmitters, with depression, with also with estrogen issues, I may go to 50 or 75 milligrams of that, but usually it's 25 to 50. With the pyridoxine hydrochloride, it's not as as efficiently used, so I would usually go with a little bit higher. So 100 milligrams would be just fine.
Okay, so I'll take that daily. Okay. And right now for the vitamin C, I need to do this old test for the vitamin C. I'm just taking something that I had a big bowl of, and it says iBio Citrus Flavonoid Vitamin C with rutin and rose hips.
Yes, that sounds good. Rutin is good. Rutin is a bioflavonoid. We got a lot of bioflavonoids. We hear a lot about quercetin because it's one of the bioflavonoids that's a really good antihistamine. It helps to, you know, control that. Rutin is good structurally. So when people have things like varicose veins and they bruise easily, the rutin tends to be really good structurally for holding the vessels, the vessel walls strong. So rutin is good for that.
That's good for me. Okay, so that's a good thing. I'm going to finish that up, and then I'll order the other one, the powder, vitamin C. Because I tend to be constipated, so I'm going to try that. Is that something I can try on my daughter, the vitamin C? Can I use that as a laxative effect?
Yeah, so first of all, when we have somebody with constipation, you want to find out why. For you, it's clear it's from your
thyroid.
You want to do things to
my gut.
While you're addressing the root cause, right? So you're addressing the root cause, so it's great. With your daughter, I would say, well, what's going on? Does she have a thyroid problem too? Is she not eating enough fiber? So really you can look for the root cause. So I don't like to use vitamin C per se as a laxative, but you can, but as long as you're looking for root cause. I have no problem with symptom relief stuff, as long as we're also looking for the cause, because otherwise you're masking something. But the truth of the matter is, poop is better out than in, so we got to get it out. So if your daughter's constipated, you can try upping her vitamin C and just gradually. I wouldn't do a vitamin C flush on a child because it could be uncomfortable, but I would say give her like a little bit and then increase it. Make sure you have it in multiple doses because vitamin C will only stay in the system for 6 hours and then it's going to be pooped out or peed out. So you have to have it also. Magnesium, look at her diet. And is this the daughter, the disabled daughter, or your other daughter?
A root cause is really that she's not physically active at all. She's sitting in a wheelchair, and her muscles, she doesn't have any Peyer's palsy. You know,
absolutely.
She doesn't have any, her muscles are weak inside as well as outside. So she's just not, you know.
By vitamin C.
Miralax, only thing. Miralax stuff is the only thing that works. But that's powerful,
no.
And I don't like it.
Then certainly experiment with vitamin C and magnesium. Do them one at a time. Get to bowel tolerance on vitamin C and then stop. So if she starts to have extra bowel movements, you know, too loose, then you back it off. And then I would start with the magnesium and get her up to speed. But there's probably a lot of other stuff. You know, I don't know her history and all.
I tried a lot of stuff. She needs to have it pulled out. It tried a lot of stuff. I'm giving her your smooth move smoothie. It's just I can't put fiber because she has a tube. I pass through the strainer. I give her the juice. That smooth move. It's kind of and I put slippery helm in there. If she can take that for 2 days, she won't go if she doesn't have something that pulls it out. And I don't want to give her too much of the aloe because that's irritating. And I can give her the aloe vera capsule. She won't go for 1 or 2 days. For me, it's like explosive. But for her, she won't go. So that's really weird. So I'm going to try the vitamin and see what happens. She needs something that's going to pull it. So that sounds like...
Because it draws water into the... Make sure she's drinking enough water. That's the big thing. When you
I can do really.
Yeah.
I can do that really. Okay. So, all right. So...
normal child who had constipation, you'd want to be digging deep. Well, obviously we know she's got a lot of impairments. So she, whatever you can do to get the poop out, you know, better than a laxative would be vitamin C or magnesium if you can get it to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because she's probably addicted to laxative right now.
Yeah.
Or enema, you know, stuff like that. I don't like to do that, but I do it once in a while if I have to. Okay. All right, so I'll continue. And I don't know if I should be start introducing more. Like, I don't take the phosphatidylserine. I don't take that.
Shouldn't take it in stage three.
I can't?
Phosphatidylserine is a stage one nutrient. You don't take it in stage three.
All right. Then I'll review everything.
You have that 30-page protocol book. It's about 30 pages long, 26 pages, something like that. I would review that and just outline the stuff that maybe that is good for stage three, but that you're not taking. And those are the things that you could experiment with and transition in. But it sounds like overall you're doing really well with it. And so you, just to know for yourself and also for your patients and clients, you don't want to overwhelm them. You don't want to give them everything in the book. You know, you want to start with the things that seem most possible. So that's the reason I gave you those little short blurbs on the herbs so you can read it and say, well, this one doesn't sound so much like that person, but wow, that one does. And then you can help them to design a protocol that way. So read through the book, become really familiar with all those documents in CAFE, and that's going to
help you. I'm going to restudy it very well because next week I want to come back on the call on June 2nd, and then I'll be ready for the lady to do something good. I was low melatonin on my results. Is it okay to take a little bit of it? I ordered a spray. A melatonin spray. I don't want to get addicted to all those bioidentical.
You don't want to get addicted. So what you want to do, V-Elaine, is look at the things I've given you to help to improve melatonin. So, you know, make sure that you're turning the lights out and dimming them within a couple of hours of bedtime.
And I sleep very well. I fall asleep right away, so I don't need melatonin if I fall asleep right away.
Yeah, no.
The thing is, I wake up once. I just wake up in the middle of the night, always, one time, usually to go to the bathroom, and that's that.
Here's the deal about melatonin. Melatonin is really good for breast cancer prevention. It's really good in those cycles. So what I would say is, if you're not showing symptoms of low melatonin, but the test showed low, maybe you want to look at some other things that might be short. So say the B6 plus 5-hydroxytryptophan, which is an amino acid precursor of the melatonin. Now, the reason that the melatonin might be low is it could just all be related to the adrenal fatigue, and it's going to get better as you improve it. So it's up to you.
Yeah.
You want to take the melatonin. If you're symptomatic, for sure, you can do it because you are low and it's important to keep it up. And if you're not symptomatic and you don't feel like you want to take it, then don't, and let's see what it looks like on the next test.
Okay, and my vitamin D is good, but at 75 now, should I start reducing it? I was taking 20,000.
20,000, yeah, you can go down to, I would go down to 10,000, and then test it again in 6 weeks. And if it's still at 75, great. If it's gone up, then reduce it further. If it's reduce it a little bit further. If it's gone down, then bump it back up a little bit. So the way we work with vitamin D is to do regular testing. So if somebody comes into the base, I always say to them, look, if we're going to test your vitamin D, we want to get it optimized. It's not going to be like I test it once and we're good to go. Like I don't have a magic, you know, what are those balls, right, that says this is the amount of vitamin D you need. Varies and very, very dramatically. So we'll look at your vitamin D, and then we'll say, okay, let's do this protocol, this amount, and either retest in 6 weeks or 3 months. Once they retest, then you'll know, okay, based on having taken 10,000 for 6 weeks, it went from 47 to 57, okay? At that point, you can say, well, I could just keep that 10,000 and see if then it goes and go for 3 months and see if it goes up into the 70s. And if it doesn't, then you can say, well, I think we need to bump it up more, right? But if it starts up too too high, then you go, whoops, it's too high, you bump it down a little bit. So it's a back and forth dance that you do until you get it off.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to move on to Allison's question. Thank you for your very
good
question.
Thank you so much. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Allison, hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Oh, how exciting. I'm actually at work at my GP practice and talking onto my iPhone. I've got Skype set up here, so that's
a wait a minute. It's 10 o'clock at night. Why are you at your work at your GP practice?
It's 10 to 9, actually, but I had to, because the cafe call started at 6:30 and I don't usually get to leave here until 8, I just had to stay in so that I could listen into both or take part in both.
Wonderful.
So
good.
That's good.
You're not working anymore. You're just listening there. That's good.
I'm working at the same time, of course. I've got another 3 hours worth of paperwork to do, I would say. But there we go. That's the adrenal fatigue for you.
Where it goes, and you got to watch it. So, yeah. Hopefully your support. Did you get your testing done? Are you supporting your adrenals?
I need to recheck them. I haven't redone them since 2 years ago. So I need to recheck them. See if I'm in stage 3 and start taking action, most definitely.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, redo them, please. Because you know what, we need to, and I should talk, I haven't taken mine in a while either, but I'm about to. but we need to really, like, actually do what we're asking our patients to do. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I've got a Fitbit, so I can see how much sleep I'm getting.
Good. What question or
as
comment?
As well as my exercise levels.
There today.
I thought the Fitbit could help me engage my clients, my private clients, with the exercise levels and sleep levels as well, because I can have a group.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's
okay. So my first patient is a 27-year-old lady who I've discussed in the past on a question. She's a 27-year-old with lethargy. She's a mum. And we picked up a severe vitamin D deficiency with the initial vitamin D level about 25. And I've replenished that down to, she's up to 123 now for her vitamin D levels.
Is
so
that one
good.
Your number scheme? Because I think your number scheme is actually higher than ours.
Oh. Right. Our aim, our target range is 100 to 200.
Okay, so your target's 100 to 200. Great. Yeah, because that's the conversion, right. Okay, good.
So she's into normal range now.
Yeah.
Now, the main abnormality on testing was her cortisol level. So her 9 a.m. cortisol in February was 1,100, which is elevated. I think we have the same unit for cortisol. And so I referred her to the endocrinologist. Beg your pardon?
Yes, cortisol, I think, are the same. I don't know for a fact.
So I referred her to the endocrinologist, and they can't find anything wrong. They've done a dexamethasone suppression test, which is when you suppress the hypothalamic pituitary axis through a steroid challenge. And that's supposed to suppress the cortisol completely. The report I picked up today is that the result is 59. Normal cortisol is sort of 100, but they're saying that this is in a level that's insufficiently suppressed by the dexamethasone challenge test.
Or does that mean that maybe there's a focus that's producing cortisol, a tumor somewhere that's producing cortisol that's not in the HPA axis?
Could be.
If you're suppressing the axis, right, and it should be suppressed and it's not, that means that somewhere else is producing cortisol. That's the first thing I would think of, is to look for that.
Yeah.
The pituitary adenoma would not do that. Unless there's a pituitary adenoma that's not being sufficiently, it's like overproducing the ACTH, and it's not, I don't know, not you know, that the feedback loop is, you think pituitary problem, right? The feedback loop isn't working, or that there's an exon.
Yeah.
Those are the I would think of, that the feedback loop isn't working, so I'd look pituitary, and then I would look, like, is there an ectopic tumor? I don't know where else they could be, but I'm sure there are. Yeah.
I think you can have them in the gut, actually, and sort of lymphomas and things. Her lying and standing cortisol, sorry, blood pressures are, they're similar. She's quite low blood pressure, 107 over 59. So that's her. And then I've got one other case, if that's all right.
Okay.
This is a lovely 25-year-old lady. She has recurrent severe endometriosis and ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome. And the combination of her endometriosis pain and her chronic fatigue are so severe that she can often be wheelchair-bound for weeks on end and having to inject herself with antiemetics to control her vomiting. It's the most severe case of endometriosis I have ever come across. And then she gets zapped by, then the gynecologists do laparoscopic diathermy to her endometriomas, and she then recovers. She doesn't have any pain at all for it may be 6 months, it may be a year, and then it all starts again. So incredibly severe endometriosis. Now, at the current time, her endometriosis is under control. She walked into the consulting room, so her ME isn't as bad as it sometimes is. She's got chronic daily headache 2 to 3 times a day, and in addition, she's now having migraines 3 times a week. She's looked in the past at food challenges regarding the migraine, and she avoids oranges because orange juice in the past was a trigger, but she can't see any consistent food challenges at the moment. Her complete blood count is normal, her CRP is normal, and her thyroid was normal in October. However, June of last year, her TSH was raised at 6.49 with her free T4 21. So basically, she's got high levels of T4, but also high levels of TSH. And we don't tend to measure T3 or things like that. But that was back in June of last year, and she's had a dose adjustment of her levothyroxine. She's on 75 micrograms. A day of levothyroxine, which is what we use on the NHS over here.
Right, exactly.
So my question is, sorry?
Exactly. I just was reiterating.
Yeah.
Sorry. So your question.
At the moment, I haven't raised. Beg your pardon?
Your question. Sorry, there's this delay.
That's okay. I know there's a delay. So I haven't at present measured 9 a.m. cortisol, LH and FSH, progesterone and estradiol levels. And I can't generally request saliva tests on the NHS. And I haven't looked at insulin sensitivity, and I haven't looked in depth at diet.
Okay. So but those are the things that you really need to look at. Because, you know, what you're – this is great because this is a good example. You're looking at it in the way that you've been trained to look at it, right? And in the nine minutes that you have with the person, that you have to explore all the stuff with the diet. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we can go, okay, this and that, and what does this mean and what does that mean? And even your statement like her thyroid is normal, but you can't even say a thyroid's normal. So I'm gonna just invite you to start using different terminology, is that the TSH is normal. That doesn't mean the thyroid's normal, right? So you're not even measuring T3, so you don't know how the conversion's going, right? You're given her T3, don't even know if it's converting to T3. So those are issues. And looking at gut, blood sugar, and the foundations, the diet, is super important. So this could be a person that you could just, like, if they're on this standard, I would say Western diet, I'm not going to say U.S. diet, American diet, because you're not in U.S., but if they're on like the standard Western type diet, that you can be a real hero by going in there and giving her some things to do that are more on line with whole foods, you know, get her off gluten, say, look, I'm going to experiment with this, are you willing to? Let's get you off gluten, dairy, sugar, processed foods, hydrogenated fats, here's a list of foods to eat, I want you to eat this stuff for a week and let's see how you do. For a month, or, you know, whatever you can get them to buy into. Can you get to see them often? Like, you only get 9 minutes, but could you tell her to come back in a week, or do you have, like, this restriction?
I'm I'm constantly booked up for at least 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because we've got so many patients. I've got 2,000 patients for 2 days a week. Okay. But she is open to looking at root causes. I've given her some books to look at on Amazon and see if she wants to buy one. But the trouble is all the hormone balancing books tend to be more geared towards, menopause and premenopause. And, you know, she's 25. The next thing is that she's considering starting a family. So I think, and she'd like to come off a lot of her medication. She's on a heck of a lot of medication for a young lady her age. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. She's on 20 medicines.
Specific stuff on some diet stuff. You can look on the site to see some of the, you know, the greens books and various books that we've given you as a done-for-you stuff. There's recipes. I mean, I would just give her some, try this diet for a couple of weeks and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Right? If it's 3 weeks, then have her do 3 weeks because then that's when you can see her again. So I can see you again in 3 weeks. Try this diet. Here's what I want you to do. Are you game? Because this is going to affect your fertility. You can't. You're too young to be. Like, really reiterate to her, and that all these imbalances in your body and your nutrition can be very squarely. Get her doing green smoothies and chia porridge and, you know, omega 3s and those sorts of things. The real, I like really looking at those foundations.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's really hard when we want to jump in. You remember my picture with the foundations at the bottom and all these different hierarchies later. When we jump in right in the middle and try to fix her thyroid or try to fix her inflammation without looking at the root cause, really, which is the foundations being out of whack, especially so young, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Probably some autoimmune stuff going on that's creating this. Did she have her antibody tested for thyroid? Has her thyroid antibody, TPO?
The other lady's thyroid antibodies have come back normal. I don't think we've done this, ladies.
Got to do her antibodies. You might be dealing with a raging Hashimoto's and, you know, leaky gut repair, heavy metals, getting her on the right nutrition, antioxidants. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Lovely to talk to you. And thanks for the fantastic call earlier.
Oh, good. I'm glad that was good for you. All right. So, anybody else? Let me look on the web here for questions. These have been good. All right. So, we have Heather says, I'm loving the cafe and the pace is fine, but I've been present on most of the cafe calls in recent weeks. I've watched, listened to the cafe videos a few times. Looking forward to another look at rebalancing protocols, especially now that I have my own test results. Yay. I'll submit my own lab prior to the June 2nd call. Good. As well as when I've been following. Great. Super. Lynn asked her if she's still taking the high levels of D. I saw that article that you had, and I briefly looked at it, and I apologize, but I just haven't had a minute to go into more depth with it. When I was researching vitamin K, the question is whether it's possible to overdose on K, because some of the supplements are D and K, and I'd usually recommend you do, you know, one dose or two doses of the D with the K, but if you're doing really high doses of D, you get a separate D. And Heather looked to see if it's possible to overdose with K2. You certainly wouldn't want to be doing it if you're on anticoagulants or if you have a tendency to bleeding. So that's, I will say that. The studies I looked at said that really the K2 is not going to cause excessive bleeding, but I don't know what doses that would be. So, I mean, I think it's possible to overdose on anything, especially fat soluble, so you do have to be careful. But I wish I had more to say right now, Heather, but it's been a heck of a week. I don't know how long you guys have been out of sound, but my mic plugged it in. Is that better? Is the sound back? Sound is not back on the web? Huh. Right. Yeah, you can hear me on the phone. Let me go ahead and exit out of it. It just, like, died and my microphone went black. I plugged it back in. I pulled it out and put it back in, and it came back. But, try that. How's that? There was some kind of message that said that shockwave stopped. So let me exit it, and then I'll come back. Boy, it's been one. Who said Mercury was in retrograde? It's like, wow. So many technology problems. Open in new window. Now the video conference went away completely. Not coming up. Can't even type into the chat. Type when. All right. I just Skyped Lynn to say, and if you're on the phone and you're also on the web and you still have it there and you still have the chat, just chat to people who aren't on the phone and let them know that I can't get that. I can't get the back. It's just still spinning. It's not coming back. So get on the phone. Okay. So let's go back to the phone. And Allison, by the way, I did your I did convert your numbers to US. So your vitamin D at, you said, was severe at 25, and we don't usually think of it as terribly severe at 25, but that's a 10 in the US. So 25 converts to 10, and that 123 is 49. So while she's getting much better, she's not really in the optimal zone, she's in the normal zone, because our normal zone is like 30 to 100, and that, you know, so the 49 falls in there, but you probably want to keep her on whatever dose you have her on and have her continue and test her again soon and see if it continues to go up. And if it doesn't, then you can bump the dose up a little bit. Or you can bump the dose up a little bit, but at 49, it's likely that it'll continue to go up. Okay. Anybody else with questions? Were there questions, Lynn, you want to get on? And if there are questions for me on that chat, because I can't see it anymore, it's gone. Is there any questions that I needed to answer that were on the chat that weren't asked on the phone? I opened your line up, Lynn.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So Laura was asking about, I'm going to forget your name. Somebody was talking about, I think it was Elaine, with chronic fatigue syndrome. And so Laura was saying, she said she was highly recommending testing for Lyme because chronic fatigue syndrome is often misdiagnosed as, or Lyme disease is often misdiagnosed as chronic fatigue syndrome, and then that can contribute to pelvic pain, daily headaches, and migraines. Lyme can cause musculoskeletal and neurological issues.
Is Lyme an issue, Allison, in your neck of the woods? I opened up your line, Allison. Well, Allison's in the UK, so I'm not sure if they have the Lyme problem as we have here.
No. So what were you asking?
I was asking if that could be a possibility. Is Lyme disease an issue where you're at? Like it is here. It's very, very prevalent here.
It's still rare here. Patients tend to get into a lot of panic about it. It's not something that I think of first, certainly.
Right. But it's certainly something, I mean, I would certainly go with the diet stuff, and if the diet stuff's not working, you can go down the Lyme thing. But it sounds like you have a lot of work to do there. But Laura's recently been through that and really learned a lot about Lyme. So
another little Koi was wondering when you last had your adrenals tested.
When I last had my adrenals tested?
Yeah.
Way too long to even remember. Probably it was when my son was still not sleeping through the night. And he's going to be 7 this week. So it was probably 15 years ago. It was a long time. I have had the kit for many years that I've been meaning to do. I just haven't. So, yeah, I'm going to do it. And actually, my plan was to order that Dutch test and get the Dutch test and do the adrenal profile on the same day.
Oh, that would be interesting.
And see how they compare.
I just sent in mine from the SHINE conference, just with everything I was going through. So,
yeah, it's worthwhile doing. I know when I did it back then, my adrenals were wiped, and I've done a lot of work on them since. But, you know, I also hadn't slept through the night for 6 years, not by choice. Now I haven't done it by choice. The energy to do what I do now. I just didn't. Like, there's no way I could have chosen. And I felt like a zombie with, you know, getting 3 to 5 hours of sleep. Now I don't feel like a zombie getting 3 to 5 hours of sleep. So I know they've improved, but I know recently, over the last couple of months, I've been pushing a little harder and I should get them tested. So, yeah.
Do you remember the results from your previous test?
Oh, yeah. I was, like, flatlined in the morning. I don't remember them exactly. I'd have to go back in my files and look.
That's fine.
I was very low in the morning.
Okay.
I was very low. And, you know, I didn't feel as bad as all the people I was working with, but they were actually lower than some of the people I was working with. It's kind of weird.
Yes. She said, just want to make sure you're okay. We all want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to do it. Thank you. Yes, I definitely, I'm feeling like right now I need to do them. I need to get some sleep.
Well, I think I can unanimously say we all love and care for you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Yeah. So there's times in your, I really believe and know in my heart and feel it in my body that when I got to master all the heart math stuff and I could control and not be going down that path of stressed out, overwhelmed all the time, it's made a huge difference in me and my energy level and all that. And I'm really tuned in. So typically I just keep going and going, and suddenly it's like, oh, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I guess I should go to sleep, and I go to sleep. And for the last two nights it was like 1 o'clock in the morning going, wow, I'm tired. How weird. And I go, oh, it's only 1 o'clock. So I realize when that happens that I have to take a break and I need a 3-day sleep vacation. So I'll be planning it. Thank you for your concern and care.
And that's the only questions that are on the chat.
Okay. Anybody else have questions? Otherwise, I will go and get ready for my 5 o'clock presentation. If you guys haven't seen it, we're doing, it's basically a announcement for my year-long energy recharge program, and I'm going to be doing some stuff on mainly thyroid tonight. So we're going to do the 3 myths about hormones that keep you fat, flabby, and fatigued. And the myth tonight is about thyroid, and then the myth the next time is on adrenal, and then the myth the last time is on sugar. So anyway. So thank you all. I'm going to open up all your lines so I can hear your voices. I appreciate you being here. And you guys are dedicated because I normally don't try not to do 2 calls for the same group in a day, or at least back-to-back like that. But we were pressed for time and schedule and didn't know where else to put this that adrenal call, and people were like, when are we going to do that? So we did it.
Ready.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.